Chapter 27. How do we fix sin? Opening questions. What is the difference between sin and wrongdoing? Is it good to be vague, confused, or inaccurate when trying to communicate a problem? Should we not focus on what is more important than on what is less important? If our God beliefs do not motivate us to change us to be better human beings, nor to live to living a better life, what good are they? Previously in the book, we said, quote, later we will look in detail at how Christians substitute a false religious problem for the real root problems, unquote. Now is a good time to address that. If you recall, the root problems this author has put forth for most of mankind's problems are fear, self-pride, and selfishness. Christians, on the other hand, say that sin, quote, is the problem that needs to be fixed. Christians define, quote, sin as essentially things I do wrong or missing of the mark. They talk about sins of commission, things that I do that are wrong, and sins of omission, things that I don't do that I should. The list of sins are mostly entirely focused on sins of commission instead of sins of omission. Examples include getting drunk, swearing or cussing, cheating, lying, stealing, smoking cigarettes, having sex outside of marriage, disobeying laws or rules of governments, etc. The Christian's list of sins would be long, but it would generally omit the three root problems of fear, self-pride, and selfishness. Many Christians would say that self-pride and selfishness are sins, but they would say they are just different sins and not any more important than any other sin. They would not typically classify fear as sin. In essence, what the Christians do is focus on the symptoms instead of the root causes and call the collective problem symptoms the problem. Or to put it another way, they focus on that which is less important while ignoring the stuff that is most important. Joshua said it this way, quote, woe to you Bible experts and religious leaders, hypocrites, for you give 10% of your income to your religious organizations and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these things are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat or keep religious rules and swallow a camel. Don't live by justice, mercy, or faithfulness. A great and current parallel or example of the Christian error or of vague or misleading labels of a problem would be calling Muslim jihadists, quote, terrorists. By calling people, quote, terrorists who are actually motivated by specific religious beliefs found in Islam's holy book is to at best obfuscate the facts and at worst to hide them altogether. The symptom, a horrible one at that, is the violence that causes terror in the victims or potential victims. The cause is some Muslims following some of the teachings of Muhammad, Islam's prophet and spokesman for God as found in the Quran. See Appendix 6 on Islam. So the Christians focus on their dandruff while they are dying of brain cancer. They step on the broken glass and put band-aids on their feet and step on the glass again the next day, thinking the band-aid is the solution. They're most upset and focused on Johnny's poor grades at school while Johnny is bullying others. They keep putting fires out in their community's houses while ignoring the electrical appliance that is causing the fires. They focus on Betty's college entrance scores while Betty is having sex that will likely lead to HIV and her death and possibly others. In short, they are worried about and focus on disease, the vague, unclearly defined concept of sin, yet they never look closely enough to properly diagnose and treat the cause behind disease, which, as we have seen, is self-pride and fear and selfishness. They do this because it is much easier to focus on symptoms, sin, than to consider the cause, loving my life in this world and thus having no faith and little love because I am in my man-made cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness. It is far easier to abstain from minor or perceived moral wrongs than it is to engage in a life of self-change and using truth to foster, encourage, and implement change in our lives and the lives of others. Furthermore, they say the way to fix the sin problem is to, quote, accept the substitutionary or propitiatory, vicarious, etc., death of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, quote. This is perhaps the most damaging aspect in the concept belief realm of the substitute that is Christianity, the successful failure. Christians are wrongly taught and hold that, quote, by believing that Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins, you are forgiven and heaven bound, unquote. This is sadly and horribly wrong, as we have seen. Joshua teaches no such thing. In contradiction, he says, care about what is true and right, proclaim and fight nonviolently for those things, and above all, love one another. Furthermore, a reasonable belief of being accountable for one's behavior, including lack of helping others, or said another way, lack of love, is replaced with Paul's gospel of grace and their doctrines of eternal security derived from non-Joshua sources. Many Christians are only too glad to push away any notions of accountability and responsibility with their favorite Paul doctrines of salvation of grace. So, there is a threefold falsehood that is the knockout punch in substituting the false religious problem for the real problems identified earlier. First, don't look solely to Joshua of Nazareth to understand who God is, what God is like, and what God wants. Instead, they look to the Bible, their religious leaders, and their favorite Christian authors or scholars. This is the fatal error, and this error makes it easy to adopt all the other errors, including the next two. Second, a gaining forgiveness from God for one's sins and thus entry into heaven by merely, quote, believing, which means intellectually understanding or remembering what you were taught and being able to repeat it if someone asks, that Christ's death was a substitutionary sacrifice for you and your deserved death and or punishment demanded by God's justice, thereby absolving you from your, quote, sin. As has been discussed, seeing ourselves as guilty human beings, not believing what is true, nor practicing what is right, especially love, being a prisoner in our cage of self-pride and fear and selfishness, and being deeply remorseful for our realization of the state of our soul, and looking with faith to the true light of the world to save us from ourselves, is what brings us out of our cage and into everlasting life. Third, that after having received the forgiveness for one's sins, one continues to be, quote, saved, that is, headed to heaven, by God's grace and going to church, and thus God will not hold you accountable or responsible for how you actually live your life, or at least there are little or no consequences for one's decisions and behaviors in life. This falsehood successfully turns people away from Joshua of Nazareth and to Paul or others and their erroneous religious beliefs and doctrines. After having entered into life, what keeps us on the difficult way and abiding in eternal life is we make sincere and real efforts to do what Joshua says, motivated by our love for him and our Father. Please note this saying of Joshua, which validates that Paul's gospel of grace is wrong. Quote, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth, those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment, unquote. That's John chapter 5. Many religious people cement the third error by their doctrine of, quote, eternal security, meaning once a person is, quote, saved, they are always, quote, saved and cannot lose their salvation. In essence, they say to themselves, isn't that great? Just believe this stuff about our Christ and his blood sacrifice to pay for our sins, and we are heaven bound. Now we can get on with loving our life in this world to its fullest. Me, 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 and money too. The thing that its leaders and members call the church are now justified in their sin forgiveness aspect of their religion by those three errors that they make and hold. People are not taught to think about how fear and self-pride and selfishness affect their daily lives. If they are not taught to identify, recognize, and work on those three root problems of our nature, will they ever be part of the solution? Of course not. They will remain in darkness and be part of the problem. They would put on band-aids on arteries squirting out blood. They will flail at their sins and ignore their self-condemnation. Christians are very complacent in their delusion. They just know that they had their sins forgiven when they entered into a relationship with Christ, as they say. Religious lingo for having some emotional experience and or of affirming or adopting the intellectual doctrine of their church. In the prior chapters in the section, we have taken a close look at the major falsehoods that Christianity is built upon, namely the Bible instead of Joshua, a false gospel, the main rituals as substitute for what Joshua actually asked for, and an inadequate and negligent understanding of our real problems. In the next few chapters, we will look not at specific errors and wrong practices that Christians hold and substitute for what God actually wants, but rather a few of the primary methods and beliefs the Christian leaders use to nullify, hide, or make of no effect the teachings of Joshua of Nazareth. Chapter summary. Christians teach that, quote, sin is the primary problem for human beings, but they do not define sin clearly. Sin, and which sins are important, will vary according to the religious leader. The true root problems for human beings are in nature ruled by fear, self-pride, and selfishness. Christians teach that we can have our, quote, sin problem fixed by, quote, believing Christ died for your sins. What that generally means is if I merely make an intellectual or emotional profession in Christianity's Christ, my sin problem will be gone. That is a delusional belief which leads to much hypocrisy. Joshua teaches that repentance for the wrongs I committed in my state of non-faith and entering into faith in Him are, and the Father He reveals are what brings a person forgiveness and into eternal life, and that living according to His way of love and caring about what is true and right is what keeps a person in the state of eternal life. See Appendix 8, Forgiveness and Blood Sacrifice. In the appendix, quote, Forgiveness and Blood Sacrifice, the following facts are established. Joshua never said that his death would be a sacrifice for sins. Joshua never taught that his father required a sacrifice for sins. Joshua did speak about the meaning of his death, and he spoke of it as paying a ransom, not being a sacrifice for sin. Joshua provides no basis to support the primitive Hebrew belief of requiring blood to be spilled in order to receive forgiveness. Only a terrible and unjust dad would punish his innocent child for the wrongdoings of a guilty child. Forgiveness is granted to those who are sincerely remorseful for their wrongdoings and thus desire to change.